Before we officially start, I must give a special shout out to the boys over at Recovery. Much like myself and the lads, Chris and Ian are a couple of rugby fanatics like we all are, and they've created various products with Recovery in mind based around natural CBD remedies. Head over to their Instagram page or website and use the code FREEBLOKES for 10% off all their natural products and feel the benefit today.
Good afternoon, good morning and good evening from wherever you are listening from. My name is Jamie Robinson and welcome to episode 105 of Three Blokes and a Rugby League podcast. I am joined by one of my best mates, Jed Amos Goddard, today. We are without Woody, unfortunately, he cannot make it. It's just a two-man booth for the Three Blokes today. But we have just witnessed an unbelievable round of Rugby League on both hemispheres. It's been the magic round in the Northern Hemisphere and the final round of NRL 2021 in the Southern Hemisphere. Jed, it's been a great round in terms of team performances. It's been a great round in terms of player performances, mate. Who's your player of the round this week?
I mean, I feel like we should do a disclaimer and like, yes, we're both very, very aware of how unbelievably good Tommy Turbo is, but it probably feels like a cock. I don't know if I'm speaking for Jamie, but feels like a bit of a cop out to pick Turbo because he's just unbelievable every week. So I haven't gone for Tom Trbojevic. I've gone for Jaden Campbell, who absolutely run the Warriors ragged, completely upstaged Reece Walsh at fullback on the opposition. Just plays with such ease and fluidity in his game, and it just seems to come all so natural. Which, I mean, he's only a small guy. He's not big at all. I think he probably could do. I think you mentioned him probably maybe putting on a little bit more size to try and keep up with the tenacity of the NRL. But his introduction to the NRL this season has been nothing short of astounding. And I'm sure the Gold Coast will have a very nice headache knowing they've got him or Brimson who can play at fullback, and probably some dilemmas for them going into where they play, get them both on the field next season. What about you, mate? Who are your player of the round?
Yeah, first of all, I'll second that with Jaden Campbell. It's nice to see the fact that he's actually his own player. He's not just getting picked off the back of his dad's name and so on and so forth. What a player he is. I've gone with Nick Meaney, mate. Unfortunately, as it pains me, as I'm sure I'll get onto later on with the Tigers' performance, but Nick Meaney was exceptional. He's been kind of one of the Bulldogs' standout players this season. And obviously, he's moving to the Melbourne Storm next year. And what a buy that is for him and the club. Two tries, one offload, three line breaks, six tackle breaks. Four goals, he actually missed three as well. 100% tackle success, 13 runs, 184 run meters, and 79 kick return meters as well. Fantastic performance from Nick Meaney. And unfortunately, not unfortunately, because we deserved it, but the Tigers got absolutely pasted, which we will come on to later on. We'll be doing exactly the same, Jed, as we have done the past couple of weeks. We'll be taking two games and talking about them in detail and then kind of running through the rest of the games. We picked out two that we thought would be quite important with this week. One was actually quite a decent game, the other one so much not. But the first one is Cronulla Sutherland Sharks 16, Melbourne Storm 28. It was the game that was going to decide the minor premiership. And the Melbourne Storm wrap up their fifth minor premiership in 10 years with a kind of less than convincing victory over a lifeless Cronulla side. You know, it's been no secret that they've been missing something over the past couple of weeks of Melbourne, but they seem to be able to hobble over the finish line more often than not. And in the eyes of Craig Bellamy, now the hard work starts, I'm sure, going into the playoffs. You know, it's been said time and time again that Bellamy and the big boys at the Storm only care about one thing, and that's winning a grand final. Cameron Smith says it every single week on his own podcast. They seem to alter their training sessions and team selections around keeping players and structure fresh going into the final series. And to say they've only lost one game since round three, which was last week, is absolutely remarkable. And the three games they've lost this year, they've lost to Parramatta twice and the Penrith Panthers as well. So remarkable statistics from them boys as well. Fair play to them. After much kind of deliberation at the back end of last season and even leading into this season, it's definitely the plan going forward, in my opinion, that they'll be starting with Brandon Smith at hooker. And I think they'll do that going into the playoffs as well. He's just obliterating sides in the middle of the park from the start and causing so much carnage. Harry Grant then comes on about 25 to 30 minutes. Smith either goes to loose forward or goes to the bench. And Harry Grant can just pick the bones of the opposition. You know, they are so battered from the middle of working alongside the likes of Smith and Nelson Sofa-Solomona and Tui Kamakamika. It's potentially the greatest rotational hooking pairing of all time, and they've been doing it for one season. It's absolutely incredible. It's still only in its infancy, and it'll be fascinating to see how Melbourne can not only keep hold of them both, but keep them happy sharing the hooking role. That's obviously the main question marks. Nobody's questioning the fact that Melbourne can keep two top players. They've done it in the past, but two players with a good sort of ego, two players who want to play game time and want to be playing internationals. You know, if we look at the World Cup next year now, you wouldn't be surprised if both of these blokes are going to go up against each other for Australia and New Zealand as well. So big, big, big decisions to make, but I'm sure Craig Bellamy likes these decisions to make anyway. For the Cronulla Sharks, it's their backline once again, as it has been all season long. It's something that has been so obvious all of 2021. Much more so in this game, one of the best backlines in the business, in my opinion. Jesse Ramian is improving week upon week. I know you do like him, Jed, as a centre come fullback yourself. Will Kennedy, what a player. One of the most improved players this year in the NRL. I'll stick my hand up and say that. He's got some slick hands. World-class finishes throughout the club. You know, Ronaldo Mulitalo's unavailable this time round, obviously with his fractured jaw, but Sione Katoa was the man in this game. 331 run metres between all three. Three line breaks and nine tackle breaks. Incredible stats. Obviously, they were on the losing side this time round and they missed out on the playoffs because of it. But it's something to build on for the Sharks. We know how good their recruitment has been for next year, and they are definitely, along with the Bulldogs, one of the most exciting sides for 2022. The Sharks just have the weakest defence, though, almost up to like the Tigers standard. It just seems like, you know, I've seen stronger lines drawn than a roundabout, if I'm honest. Melbourne have seen some of the baddest, biggest runners of the ball. You know, it's just on their best day, on their worst day even, they're breaking the line, this Cronulla line. It's just absolutely incredible how poor this defence was in this game. 54 missed tackles from Cronulla overall, which has unfortunately been kind of up there with kind of normalcy in the NRL in 2021. But that's against the Melbourne side that were completing at 64%, and Melbourne still managed to win this game, albeit by about 8 points, but it still was less than convincing. Imagine if they'd have come easily up against it if they're actually on point, Melbourne, you know, and if they have their head screwed on. Just incredible effort from them overall. I don't know how I've got through all this without mentioning Ryan Papenhuyzen. God, we know how electric and how unbelievable he is. Nico Hines has been the man for Storm this season. He's so reliable, fills a gap perfectly whenever he needs to in any position that he's asked to play in. But I think the reason he has moved is because he will never be Ryan Papenhuyzen. What a dynamic ball runner. Sending people for hot dogs for fun. You know, he got 3 tries in this game. 14 tackle breaks and 2 line breaks on top of that, just a cherry on top. He truly is the poster boy for this sport. If it comes around to it, the likes of him, James Tedesco, Tom Trbojevic, Nathan Cleary, they are the men who get the viewers watching rugby league, and what a player. I really hope he stays fit over the past next year and so on. And that comes it for that game. Just rounding off the player of the season points, Ryan Papenhuyzen 5, Harry Grant 4, Sione Katoa from the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks 3, Jerome Hughes has been impeccable all season with 2, and Nico Hines with 1. Jed, what we did think would be quite an ambitious game to profile was the Gold Coast Titans, New Zealand Warriors. There was a chance that these two sides were going to be competing heavily. That was the case to some extent, but a bit of a disappointing result in the end.
Yeah, it was quite disappointing, the Gold Coast running out comfortable victors, 44-0 in the end. But I feel like this is probably the most important victory that Gold Coast have ever had. It's the first time they've kept I think it's the longest time period in the NRL that a team hasn't kept a team scoreless for. Gold Coast had the longest record. I can't quote me on it, but it goes back quite a fair few years. So it's really important for them to tighten up that defence now going into the finals. But more importantly than that, I feel like this is an important victory for Gold Coast because they knew what they needed to do. They needed to win by, was it 7 or 13 points coming into this game? And that can weigh on teams. And I was unsure about the Gold Coast mentality, whether they'll be able to keep up with it. But they absolutely put the Warriors to the sword and absolutely shredded them all game. And I think fair play to the Gold Coast Titans. They're not in the finals to make up numbers. They're there to do something and make an effort. And I think now, looking back on this season, this would probably be deemed as quite a success for the Gold Coast Titans. They spent a lot of money. As long as they're competitive in the playoffs, I think this is a good move for them and a good step in the right direction. But on the game itself, I mean, there was so much better than the Warriors, and they weren't really firing at all cylinders. I mean, the Gold Coast, they still had 13 errors, still conceded 6 penalties. Only completed at 77%, which is probably around about, I don't know, would you say average, Jamie, in the NRL? Probably about 77%. Nothing amazing, but not bad. The Warriors completed at 55%, one of the lowest I've seen all season. It is absolutely shocking. And all you need to look at is the difference in tackles. The Gold Coast Titans made 239 tackles, and the New Zealand Warriors made close to 360 tackles. Such a differentiation in terms of the workload that they were doing, because Gold Coast were just continuing to attack and attack and attack. As I mentioned previously, Jaden Campbell absolutely lit up the game, slid through people for fun like a hot knife through butter. But he was supported by a real strong supporting cast in his back line. Brian Kelly, who I think is very underrated. We could have easily mentioned him on an underrated podcast on another time, Brian Kelly. Always gets through hard graft and was the second highest run meter in this game with 215. Jaden topping the charts with 255. And Philip Sammy was equally very impressive. Those three players made up the top three run meters in the whole game. And they were just constantly just making that hard yards coming out, attacking down the side. Brian Kelly made about four or five tackle busts and probably should have had a little bit more during that week at Warriors edge defensive play. And it just really made it look like they really wanted this game, and Warriors just didn't really show up at all. And it's a really bitterly disappointing way for them to end the season, especially when they had aspirations 3 weeks ago making the playoffs. But I think they probably knew that they were done and dusted, and that probably reflected in the temperament in the game. For those of you that haven't seen it, there's actually four sin binnings in this game, three for the Warriors and one for the Gold Coast Titans. Jared Wallace for the Titans, and then it was Kane Evans, surprise, surprise, not really a surprise for the Warriors, Matt Lodge, and then the other one actually escapes me. But yeah, quite a few bust-ups in this game. Reece Walsh getting amongst it as well, which is, I don't really get. He kind of ragged one of the Titans players from behind for no real reason. I don't know if whether that was just frustration, but it's not something that Reece Walsh really needs to be doing in his game at such an infancy. He's had a great season, but he don't want to tarnish it with silly behaviour like that, especially when the game was pretty much gone. But I think the Gold Coast will take this game in a positive light, and will really take it into the playoffs, and will hopefully be able to achieve something. One person that I want to pick on, and this is going to sound like a bit of an oxymoron, because he scored 17 tries this season, and although he's probably the highest scoring forward in the league, I'm a bit disappointed in David Fifita, if I'm honest. In this game, David Fifita is a mammoth of a man. He could probably carry four players on his back and still make more yards than I'd make in a season. In this game, he got 78 metres, which in a game where you've got three players going over 200 and a lot of forwards topping about 130, 140, you've got to be doing more for me than that, Jimmy. I'm just going to throw it over to you quickly. He still scored two tries in this game. But when the defence was as poor as it was for the Warriors, they're only completing 50%. You've got this much possession. Are you wanting more from your players like David Fifita?
Yeah, admittedly, I didn't actually watch this game. Obviously, I saw the highlights and everything. But I think, you know well as me, you know much as better as I do in terms of playing. But I think when you've got such a key player, sometimes you almost utilise them a bit better by not giving them the ball too much, because the opposition expects you a lot more. If you use David Fifita as a dummy runner, you know the defence is going to go to him more often, because how destructive he is in defence. If you can use him as kind of a lead runner or a dummy runner and give it to someone out back, he's probably a bit more in use than just carrying it up every time. I know what you mean. You expect him to be hitting 100, 150, especially in these types of games when you're rolling other teams like the Warriors. But I think as long as they're winning and as long as it's having some sort of positive effect, like you say, he still bagged two tries, to be fair. So I agree with you to an extent, but I think obviously in terms of you using the rugby league as a whole, I still think he's a really important key in that Titans attack.
Yeah, it's a fair point. And I'm unsure what minutes he played. Maybe they wanted to keep him a little bit fresher coming into the finals once the result was pretty much secured. But from eight runs, 78 metres, probably he should be doing a little bit more for me. But yeah, it's a fair point, Jamie. To wrap up my points on this game, Jaden Campbell with the 5, no surprise. Brian Kelly, 4. Jamal Fogarty, who's a constant key player for the Titans and has really done well to become such a key member at an NRL team so late in his career, really, with 3. Big Tino with 2. And Bo Furmore, an underrated player, as we've mentioned, on 1. And then up next with the rest of the games, you had the Canberra Raiders and the Sydney Roosters. Probably a disappointing result, really, given what were at stake.
Yes, mate. Best of the rest, round 25. Canberra Raiders 16, Sydney Roosters 40. Just just Canberra, just a dead side out of the mate. Obviously, a good mate of ours who used to previously be on the podcast, Josh McVitie, big Canberra fan, and I'd be so disillusioned with that. I mean, coming from a Tigers and a Cowboys fan, I don't really mean too much, but you know, you hold your hands up, Jed. You predicted them to finish top of the table this year, and they've almost been that bad this year. You look at them now and think, ninth place, all right, fair enough. But the start of this year, people were predicting them to finish at the top, especially top four. They've been absolutely atrocious all season, been absolutely embarrassing. And in this game, they still stood a chance of being in the top eight. And the Roosters, down on numbers, 12 men missing from the start of the season squad, and they still stick 40 points in them. Just an awful effort, and Canberra just can't wait until the end of the season. Jed, I'll pass it over to you straight away. You know, I'll come straight into it. Ricky Stewart is, I think he's up there with one of some of the longest serving coaches in the NRL at the minute. I think Canberra's been there about 6 or 7 or 8 years now. This is a total collapse this year, and we've seen ex-players come out and kind of lambast Stewart in terms of not looking after the mental health and not being the greatest leader at the club. How long has he got left at Canberra? What does he need to do to kind of retain, you know, retain any sort of reputation that he's got at the club?
I feel like if it's another season like this, I think that could be it. I think the only thing, I think it was any other coach at another club, they'd probably have the chop already. But the big thing in his favour is that he has had success as a manager quite recently. Obviously, got to the grand final in 2019 even. And obviously, he's a club legend, played for the club. So, but if it were me, I'd this difficult questions need to be asked. Especially when it's not just a case of one player, it's numerous players now coming out. You've got players' wives lambasting the coach on social media earlier on in the season. It just seems like a real toxic environment. You've got your captain relinquishing his captaincy in the mid-season. So they have had a lot of things to go on, but it seems like a lot of them stem from your coach being quite involved. And I don't know how much of that is maybe more from the players, more from him, but I feel like it's time to probably look for a new coach, in my opinion, but I think they'll give him another season. But I think they need to have a proper clear out and start afresh, in my opinion, Jamie.
Yeah, I can't agree more, if I'm honest. And the eight-point try, Charles Nicol-Klukestad against Matty Kivalä. Matty Kivalä took a huge bump. On first inspection, in my opinion, I just thought it was a good, clean challenge, and Kivalä obviously just caught as a winger. I mean, I've never been a winger in my life, but I guess diving for the corner, you've got to expect to be battered quite a bit. But on second and third look, it was probably the right decision for me. And it was a bit of a dodgy one from Nicol-Klukestad. I don't know if it were a bit of frustration, mate. I'm not sure what you think on it.
I don't know. You're trying to stop a try. It's not as if he's completely led with the knees. Yeah, it doesn't look bad in slow-mo, but I think it's a little bit hard done by. I've seen worse challenges to stop a try and it's been nothing. If that is an 8-point try and that's what you're judging to be an 8-point try, then be consistent with it and award them all season. Because I've seen a lot worse this season go unpunished. And I think, yeah, it might be the right decision, but based on other decisions throughout the season, I think Nicol-Klukestad has been a bit hard done by, in my opinion, there. But I can see why they've given it, but I think that's unfortunate.
I mean, at least it didn't really have any effect on
that. Yeah, true. Very true.
So, thank God for that one. Adam Kieran, top game for this. He's another Roosters player who's kind of, I'll say it, he's gone under the radar this year. He's one of these players that can fill in anywhere. He kicks goals. Got an hat-trick in this game. His first grade hat-trick. I've given him 5 points in play of the season. Drew Hutchison, big favourite of mine, 4 points. James Tedesco, one of the best players, about 3. Angus Crichton, I'll say it now, he's been the best second rower in the league this year so far, 2 points. And Mr. Reliable himself, CLCU Taukeiaho, the 1 point. Jed, barrel rolling over to you. It was meant to be Woody's, but obviously he's unavailable for today. Parramatta Eels 6, Penrith Panthers 40. Nice way for Penrith to end the regular season.
Yeah, and probably as I'll come on to a moment, if you looked at the squads lining up, you'd probably predict this scoreline. In the first half, this young Parramatta side, they give it a really good go. They really did, and they really battled. But then, I mean, it's that age-old story that as soon as the time goes on, experience tells and Penrith prevailed. And the big guns, your Cleary's, your Brian Toto's and your Sayo's really start to put Parramatta to the sword and start to pile on the points. Yeah, good way to end. But as I mentioned, very different squads from both coaches. For those of you who are unaware, Parramatta dropped a lot of key players. Papali'i, Guffo, Niokore. About six key first team members were dropped to rest ahead of the finals, whereas Penrith went the opposite and they put a full strength squad out and want to finish on a high. What is your interpretation of this, Jamie? What do you think is, do you think this is the right decision for both teams, or do you reckon maybe one or maybe both coaches have got it wrong?
I mean, similar thing with Canberra. Parramatta still had a chance of finishing fourth at the start of this game. I think Brad Arthur's looked at it and bottled it against Penrith. He's looked at Manly and thinking that they're probably going to beat the Cowboys. And he's looked at, obviously, the Roosters game had already finished anyway. So, but I also think Parramatta have backed himself into a corner. Melbourne and Penrith can afford to rotate these players around, these types of players, as can the Bunnies. But Parramatta have been so poor in kind of the final third of the season that they can't afford to be rotating players before the last game. So it's got to the last game. They need to rest players before the playoffs, but they've not done any sort of rotation the past couple of weeks. So they just rest absolutely everyone and kind of take a hit on the score, which is, you know, 40 points against a team that you might be coming up against in the playoffs anyway. Not the best. Penrith, you know, I'm an advocate of, if you've got the players, if they want to play and if they're fit, play them every week, because you need that momentum going into the playoffs. We saw it happen to Penrith last year and they ended up losing the grand final. They will be full systems go for the grand final this year. So fair play to them. But Parramatta, I think, just backs himself into a corner, mate. Poor form, poor preparation. And I think Brad Arthur's bottled it a bit against Penrith.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, because if you're a Parramatta fan, you're probably thinking, nah, rest is key players. We beat Melbourne last week. We want to go strong into the playoffs. But then I'm thinking, if you play a full-strength squad, and even if you lose a bit against Penrith, but if you push Penrith close and have a really good game off the back of beating Melbourne, the confidence that'll do for your squad going into face whoever you might be in the finals, it's immeasurable, really. And the players will take a lot of belief in that. Now, not so much, I don't know. I probably think it is a poor decision, really. And I think probably that time will tell that Brad Arthur probably made the wrong call. Coming to the Penrith squad, mate, they're just unbelievable at the moment. Really kicking on and seem to be finding like another gear. Earlier on the season, I said it was the best I've ever seen any team play. Just so consistent. And then around Origin, they had that little bit of a dip. And now it's all guns blazing again. Do you think that Penrith are now starting to peak at the right time for a second time within the season?
They're coming, mate. They're coming, especially as Melbourne have taken a little bit of a dip in form. We know that, once again, I've said it already, but Craig Bellamy much prefers the playoffs, and I definitely expect him to start peaking again. But this Penrith side, you look at the Penrith bench. They had Viliami Kikau and Tevita Pengai Jr. on the bench. It's absolutely incredible. With the likes of Taylor or Tyrone May and Scott Sorensen. Scott Sorensen's obviously been injured now, but they're coming. And I think it's still a two-horse race now that Latrell Mitchell's out for the foreseeable future. But yes, they are definitely peaking at the right time, and it's superb management from the Penrith club.
Says it all when you've got Stephen Crichton playing wing. I mean, yeah. It's just absolutely ridiculous. To wrap up the points in this one, Brian Toto, today he's come back from an ankle injury. Absolutely incredible. He was awesome last week. He was even better this week and actually scored his first ever NRL hat-trick. So best winger in the league by a mile this season. I'd be very surprised if he's not picking up a Dally M. Matt Burton, 4. Nathan Cleary, 3. Isaiah Yeart, 2. And Jerome Luai, 1. Up next, a team that we've said have picked up a bit of form recently, Jamie, and they finished the season strong, and they'll definitely be a team to watch next season. What, the Brisbane?
Superb stuff, mate. Brisbane 35, Newcastle Knights 22. I said it last week, outside of the playoffs, Brisbane are definitely the most on-form team. Probably outside of the top four, they are the most on-form team at the minute. Superb stuff once again. And they'll be absolutely gutted the season's finished, because the form that they've been in the past 4 or 5 weeks has been impeccable. Newcastle have taken a dip. You know, after I was absolutely bigging them up for about 3 weeks in a row with that left side, strong side. Last week, they had a bit of a squeaky result against the Gold Coast Titans. And this week, they were very, very poor. I appreciate it. Every game against Brisbane at the back end of the season has been an away game, but they were absolutely nothing in this game whatsoever. Just really, really disappointing going into their first, you know, confident playoff run in a long, long time. I appreciate they've been in the finals in the past couple of years, but, you know, they're going up against a Parramatta side that they should be looking to win, in my opinion, and they were so, so disappointing in this. You know, I've put in the notes, Jed, to ask you if you think that Newcastle are any good. Massively, you know, biased question. It's very, very leans into the fact that they're not any good. But what's happening to the form? they're consistently inconsistent, aren't they? But what an horrendous way to end a season that's actually gone quite well in the past couple of weeks.
I mean, if you look at the scoreline, you'd sort of presume maybe they've rested some players, but as far as I can tell, it were first starting 17 by one or two. Ponga were there, Watson were there. You had all the forwards firing, and yeah, real, real disappointing. And when you talk about results damaging morale, this is the result that'll damage morale. If Newcastle beat Brisbane, I'd be tipping them to beat Parra in the playoffs. I generally would. Now I'm not so sure. Maybe Parra have got a little bit too much firepower to do them, but yeah, it's a real disappointing way to end the season, and it's just really disappointing. And I'm sure they'll want to pick themselves back up, but good times for Broncos though.
Very much so. A great way for Anthony Milford to go out on top. And Alex Glenn as well. Alex Glenn, fair play to him. What a career. He's in the top five Brisbane appearances of all time. Xavier Coates going to the Melbourne Storm. Fair play to Brisbane. I think they'll definitely be chasing top eight next year. I think it'll be a very different NRL table going into next year. Anthony Milford, 5 points. Herbie Farnworth, who was brilliant with four. Selwyn Cobbo, once again, spot-on player with three. Tessie New with two. And Connor Watson, the sole player for the Newcastle Knights, with one. Jed, rounding off, I would have said a bang average season maybe about a month or two ago, but a very poor season from you boys. North Queens and Cowboys, 18. Manly Warringah Seagulls, 46. And it was about one man in this game once again, wasn't it?
Yeah, Tom Trbojevic just absolutely looked like a 15-year-old playing against 7-year-olds. I mean, if you haven't seen it, there's two genuine try of the season contenders in this game. There's one where Tom Trbojevic, no lying, gets past nine players to score. Nine players. It's ridiculous. It's ludicrous the amount of talent this boy's got. And then the other one is the end-to-end after the full-time hooter. Another amazing try, and who's there to round it off? Of course, Tom Trbojevic. But yeah, as a Cowboys fan, I'm really glad the season's done. It's been really disappointing. We've gone backwards, which I've said every week now for the past 5 weeks. There's no real passion at all. Individual players trying. Hamis Ofadau has done really well since he's come back, to be fair. Drinkwater has been good in the half, tailed off towards the back end. Val Holmes has done bits. Kyle Felt has been good, which he always is good, to be fair. Forward pack, really disappointing. Ruben Cotter was good in sparks, but injured most of the season. Came back from injury and injured again and missed this game. So, yeah, not real many positive points to take from a Cowboys point of view. Some good signings coming in next season. I'm intrigued to see how they're going to gel. I think Chad Townsend hopefully should make a difference. And I think Tom Dearden really does need that guidance. Peter Hicku coming in again will be a really good signing, and a few others as well. There's no positives to take from it. We finished 15th, second bottom. Just really bitterly disappointing. Talk about something a little bit more positive here. I mean, especially if you're a Manly fan. Ruben Garrick, I mean, their back three of Garrick, Saab and Tom Trbojevic is the best back three in the NRL at the moment for me, Jamie. I don't know if you might disagree or agree. But Ruben Garrick, the most points scored in a regular season. He's done well, hasn't he, this season, lad?
Superb stuff. He's a try scorer and he's a goal kicker as well. And I was looking at the most points of all time in a season. It's Hazem El Masri in about 20, 25 years ago. And he's only about 40 points off that, which is very achievable to say, they've now got two games as well. We're finishing fourth. I could definitely see him getting 40 points in the playoff series, but you never know with a playoff series. But fair play to him. He's up there with the third most points of all time. Most points ever in a regular season. Incredible feat, and most points ever for Manly, obviously, in a regular season as well. Top player. Seems like a really good bloke as well. I've never met him, obviously. I've only really heard him speak a couple of times, but it seems like a really down-to-earth guy. So, yeah, I'm really happy for him.
I feel like the Manly players in general seem really down to earth, and they've got a real good camaraderie, similar with Penrith there that they've got, and probably why they're performing so well at the moment. To wrap up the points of this game, of course, Tom Trbojevic has got 5 points, Daly Cherry Evans, 4, Ruben Garrick, 3, Matty Tapau, 2, and Jake Trbojevic, 1. Up next, the closest game of the weekend, one that you wouldn't usually expect to be close looking at the teams involved, but one team did drop a litany of players, didn't they, mate?
Yeah, well, horrendous, to be fair, in terms of the Dragons, once again, just being so poor. But, like, the fact that they pulled out 16 points in the last 10 to 15 minutes was incredible. Rabbits did what they needed to do. and they basically just put tilt the foot off the gas in the last half, especially. Still a top side, and Wayne Bennett's got a win, so that's all he cares about. And I think it's just a patchwork now. Obviously, they need to work out how they're going to live life without Latrell in the playoffs. They've got an extra game because they finished third. Blake Taff had a good game, got a try, and you give him 1 point in the player of the season points, mate. How do you think he'll go if they do go with him filling in the void going into the playoffs?
I mean, he has played well. I think he's only played about 5 NRL games, but from when he has been called upon, he has done well. I think what will benefit him is that there's no real pressure on him. No one's expecting him to be Latrell, and as long as he is solid, I think he'll be fine, and it'll put him in good stead for the future. But yeah, I mean, the Dragons were lucky to be in as close as they were, really. And you'll see in the Player of the Year points that is pretty much dominated by Rabbits players, by a few. But yeah, St George have just been really gone off a cliff, really. And they've got a lot of rebuilding to do next season. Rumours that Zach Lomax might not be there. Obviously, Paul Vaughan's left. And a lot of players, it seems, aren't quite happy there. But yeah, real question marks to be asked about this Dragon squad. We touched on, they're in the top 8 for the most of the season. And then last 5 weeks have completely fallen apart. South Sydney, with dropping a lot of players and still managed to get in the win, that'll be a lot of confidence for not only the players that played, but the players that didn't play, getting a week's rest and knowing they've got the depth there. And if it wasn't for the defeat they had the other week against Penrith, I'd probably be up there tipping them as 1 of 3. But yeah, I just think the Souths are, especially without Latrell, a little bit way off the Penrith, Melbourne, and even Manly, I'd say. So I probably won't make too much of it. Any, you know what, it could be a 4th prelim loss on the trot, which would be horrendous way for the Rabbits to finish after so much promise, really. One person that we're really big on, Jamie, and I'm a big fan of him, and if you've not seen it, it's Tarik Sims, and he's been told that if he can get a longer contract, he can go elsewhere, which we were really surprised at. But when you look at him as a player, why do you reckon they've done it? Because we rate him as a player. I think he's a brilliant forward, seems to lead from the front, but why they just not seem too keen on him, Jamie?
He's an Origin player as well, and he seems to be improving season upon season the past 3 or 4 years. It's a cop-out answer, but it must come down to salary cap. They must feel as though that they've got money tied up in other players. They're wanting to bring more valued players in. They've got youth players that might need a boost up in contract. I can't see him being a trouble causer, and I don't think he was a big part of all this trouble at the barbecue. I've absolutely no idea. And I think any club, and I genuinely mean any club in the NRL, would want to sign him. Even talking about your Melbournes, your Penriths, who have a litany of talent in the back row. Tarik Sims is a top player, is an Origin player, and that is so puzzling to say that a club who is probably once again going to be down the bottom end of the table next year is wanting to get rid of him.
If he wants to come to the Cowboys, I'll take him with open arms, to be honest. We definitely need a little bit more of leadership in that pack at the moment. To wrap up the points, this Campbell Graham, one of the senior players that was playing, was excellent. Ravalava, probably only real bright spot for the Dragons. Always seems to go well, but did have a few errors. Mark Nichols really led from the front with 3 points. Farrell Sloan with 2, and Blake Taff with 1. Up next, I'm sure you want to get through this game as quickly as possible, so we won't dwell on it for you, mate, but at least your pain and suffering is done for one season anyway.
West Tigers 0, Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. Bottom of the table, Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. Wooden Spooners, Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, 38. All I literally have written in my notes is West Tigers are a steaming pile of garbage. And that's exactly what it was. What the most lifeless, gutless, pathetic effort that I've seen this year. And that takes a lot of beating because we've had some horrendous performances this year. Just giving up, essentially. Just literally giving up to say that these boys are paid professional rugby league players, earning big money in a time where COVID is hitting and people aren't earning as well. It's, you know, I could bring in ethics. I could bring in everything into it. It's just absolutely appalling. We were out. We were without our 3 main playmakers. We didn't have Mbai. We didn't have Dewey. We didn't have Laurie. But 38-0 against the worst side in the past couple of years is just appalling, absolutely appalling. Add on to that, we had a couple of sin bins. We're just missing tackles left, right and centre. Could go on and on and on. It's just appalling. And I would probably put us, along with probably you boys, as the favourites for the Spooners next year, if I'm honest. And I think you've probably got a bit more promise than us. Looking forward to Jackson Hastings coming in. You know, Ollie Gildart maybe, but you know, Wigan haven't been much this year overall, if I'm honest. Just a very disappointing season. The fact that we've actually finished as high up as we did, and we probably deserve to finish even lower. Bulldogs, fair play. I mentioned it obviously in the player of the round. Nick Meaney was absolutely exceptional. Jake Averillo, who usually has about a 5, 6, 7 out of 10 game every single week. Josh Jackson, Will Apuate. I'm literally naming the entire player of the season points that I've given for this. But Bulldogs were brilliant, and they obviously wanted to put on a show for the fans. A couple of players are leaving. Couple of players are coming in. Gus Gould has obviously been analysing and determining who's going to stay next year. And there's a lot of players leaving, which we'll talk about in a couple of moments' time. But brilliant result for them. Really positive signs going into 2022. And fair play to the Bulldogs. It was a bit of a cop-out game with this. There was no real need to play it. But, they finished on a high, and I think they'll have a really good 2022 as well. Nick Meaney, 5 points. Jake Averillo, 4. Josh Jackson, 3. Will Apuati, 2. And Aaron Shoup, who's been a real positive player in the past couple of weeks, is he can fill in any utility role. I don't know where he's going to fit in next year, and if he does, but 1 point for him. Jed, that wraps up the NRL for 2021. It's been a pleasure covering it with you. Obviously, we're going into playoffs in the next couple of weeks, but it's our first full season on the podcast covering it. I'll just go through the ladder if anybody is unaware. Melbourne won the minor premiership on a points differential of plus 499, which is incredible. Penrith Panthers finished second. South Sydney Bunnies and Manly Warringah Seagulls third and fourth. Sydney Roosters fifth. Parramatta Eels sixth. Newcastle Knights seventh. And Gold Coast Titans eighth. Cronulla Sutherland Sharks, Canberra Raiders, St George Illawarra Dragons and New Zealand Warriors finished outside the top four, with the West Tigers, Brisbane Broncos, North Queensland Cowboys and the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs rounding off the table as well. Jed, coming to the Super League, a bit of a monumentous round. This Magic Weekend is huge, but hands up if I'm honest, once again, I didn't know it was Magic Round until very close, about a day or two away from it. Marketing has been atrocious, much as it was for the rival round. My dad actually went up with my granddad, so that's how I actually ended up finding out. But just horrendous all round. I'll talk about the first day first, mate. Some close games. The majority of the games seem like a good standard of rugby league. Gasford Tigers 29, Salford Red Devils 18, St Helens 30, Catalan Dragons 31, in one of the most incredible finishes I've genuinely ever seen in the sport of rugby league. And Leeds Rhinos 25, Hull FC 24. We'll start on the first game, mate. Cass Tigers, another win again. They're on some good form lately, and they're looking to push toward the playoffs for the last two rounds, aren't they, mate?
Yeah, I don't know if maybe they've left themselves with a little bit of work to do, but this definitely finishes in the season strong, and if they can get in there, they're taking that into the playoffs. But obviously Darryl Powell's leaving at the end of the season and probably want to leave on a good note. And doing us a favour, beating Salford, obviously, around that bottom with us. And we've gone ahead of them and ahead of another team, which obviously we'll touch on in a moment as well. But yeah, a good game. And from what I saw, I don't watch much Super League other than Wakey, really, but I saw quite a lot of the weekend's games, and it were a good standard. And even Wigan Warrington, which were a bit of a slog, it was still a close game and sort of like a war of attrition, which sometimes it's nice to see a bit of a difference, which you don't really see in Super League too much. So yeah, it'd just been better if it were marketed a bit better, like you said, mate.
Two golden point games as well in that first game of the weekend. But the main one, mate, St Helens were 30 points to 12 up against Catalan Dragons with 6 minutes left. Both teams were the only teams left who can win the minor premiership, or the league leader's shield, as it's called up here. Catalan Dragons putting on 19 points in 6, 7 minutes plus golden point. Absolutely incredible. St Helens have been known to do this type of thing over the past couple of years. First of all, mate, what's your thoughts on the end of the game? And brilliant to see Catalan win the league leader's shield.
It was actually less than that. It was actually about 4.5 minutes that they did it in. Actually insane. Really good. I didn't actually watch one of the few games I didn't watch, but I did catch the highlights, typical. And they actually scored with the last touch of the game. Obviously, I think it was Sam Cassiano who scored. But yeah, I'm thrilled for Catalan. We've said numerous times, obviously, it's not going to be Wakey. We'd want Catalan to win it. I think it's really good for the sport, and they've deserved it. They beat all the top sides. They're at the top, and I hope they can take it into the playoffs, and I hope they win the grand final. I really do. I think it'd be great for the sport. And they play a good rugby, good attacking brand of rugby. And yeah, just really good things to happen. It'd be just nice to have a different name on it, really.
Definitely so, mate. Coming into the second game, second day, Huddersfield Giants 18, Wakefield Trinity 32, another big win for us. Wigan Warriors 6, Warrington Wolves 10. and Lee Centurion 6, or Kingston Rovers 44. We'll come on to our club, mate. What a revitalised club atmosphere, players, game management, everything about it has been brilliant since Chris Chester has left the club. Big question, mate. Do we keep Willie Poaching? Do we kind of wean him back a bit and let him, you know, carry on learning? But he's putting himself into a position that you can't not pick him.
For me, now, I won't make any decisions till the season's done. Obviously, we've got two, three games left. Got Lee, Hull the last game, and maybe one before Lee. I'm not too sure. But yeah, I think just keep it. If it goes in this vein, I'd be offering a contract. Maybe don't go long term. Maybe a 1 or a 2 year contract. Obviously, still a new coach and still learning his trade. But for me, why not? It's the best we've been in a long time, and probably. I'm not too sure, but I can't remember the last time we had 3 wins in 4 games. So, yeah, I'm just really happy in the players playing with more purpose. We've signed some good players for next season. We are losing a few, which is a shame, but I feel like it's positive signs and hopefully we can move in the right direction and be challenging for the playoffs next season, mate.
Hopefully so, mate. Yeah, a couple rounds left, like you mentioned, in the Super League. The league table at the minute. Catalan Dragons top with a man in Premiership League leader Shield. St Helens, Warrington Wolves, Wigan Warriors still in the top four. Wigan, I don't know how they've managed that. Leeds Rhinos, Castleford Tigers, Hull Kingston Rovers, Hull FC, then the bottom four of Wakefield Trinity, Huddersfield Giants, Salford Red Devils and Lee Centurions. Coming over to the naughty corner, mate, it's actually been quite a tame round from Super League and the NRL. Obviously, I know we have had a couple of yellow cards and sin binnies, but only one really stood out for us. Josh Maguire for the St. George Illawarra Dragons against the South Sydney Bunnies. Is Josh Maguire doing Josh Maguire things, mate, really? Swinging arm, yellow card, bit over exuberance, and that's him sat on the sidelines.
Yeah, it's just classic Josh Maguire being Josh Maguire. It is what it is. He'll be sitting on the sidelines at the start of the next season. Dragons are going to struggle anyway, so could do with him being on the pitch, really. But yeah, it's just what it is. I'm not sure what's happened with the repercussions of obviously the Warriors players with Kane Evans and Matt Lodge. What they've got, but I imagine they might get a 1 or 2 because there was quite a few punches thrown. So I can imagine they might be sitting on the sidelines at the start of next season as well. But yeah, relatively quiet round in terms of like suspensions and cards and penalties and bans and things like that. So sort of like a nice way to end it, a friendly way to end the season.
Transfer talk, mate. Bulldogs released a statement a couple of days ago that they're releasing a couple of players. We know the likes of Nick Meaney and so on are going to other clubs. But, you know, ex-State of Origin, ex-international Dylan Napa is leaving the club along with the likes of Renouf Atone, Tione Katoa, Lachlan Lewis is off. Especially those four players, mate. What's your thoughts? And do you think any other NRL clubs are going to be willing to pick them up?
I think Napa, Atone and Katoa definitely. And I would have thought Lewis, but he might have to play backup somewhere. I think the main thing with Dylan Napa is that he was on a lot of money at the Dogs and not delivered for the wage that he's on. I would imagine he'd find a new club relatively easy, but we'll have to take quite a considerable pay cut. I think Renouf Atone is a surprising one. I really rate him. He's quite versatile, can play in numerous positions. And I think I can't imagine him being on too much money, but I definitely have him at Cowboys. Just because he covers a lot of position, always seems to work hard. He's not going to be a groundbreaker, but he does the 1%ers that you need. Would you have him at Tigers?
Probably, mate. I think the only thing that surprised him, I was looking him up this week, because he has been rumoured with Wigan, actually. He's 26. I thought he was a lot younger than that. I thought he was actually only about 19, 20. But yeah, he's 26. He's played 3 seasons for the Bulldogs, and he must have just totally flew under my radar because I didn't actually know much about him until this year. But yeah, I probably would take him. I wouldn't take Napa because I think he's a bit of trouble. But Lachlan Lewis, I think he could be suspended for a long time, it sounds like, from the NRL for the daft stuff he's been doing. Big signing, though, in the Super League, mate. And I'll hold my hands up. And along with Will Opawati, they announced him a couple of weeks ago. Curtis Sirinin going to the St. Helens. That is a ginormous signing, mate. And very surprised he's actually been, you know, he wants to come over.
Definitely. I mean, how old is he? He's not. He's mid-20s?
Yeah, I'd say mid to late 20s, yeah.
Yeah, so he's coming over in essentially his prime. He's an NRL, good NRL standard forward, and the Saints have picked up. I mean, he'll be, by my attention, he'll be easily probably the best forward in the league, along with John Bateman next season in Super League. Yeah, great signing. Will Opawati, great signing. And the Saints are just again, just packed with superstars and just wanted to dominate again like they have done in the last few seasons. So that's why, even more so, Catalan need to win this year so they don't do it again. But yeah, great signing. Looking forward to him watching him tear up Super League, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I just think he's unfortunate. He's an unfortunate casualty of the likes of Hamoli Olakuatu and Sean Kepit, Matty Tapau, really, really picking up some form. Obviously, Josh Hooster as well, Jake Trbojevic. And he just can't break that starting Manly side. So unless he wants game time and everything, he'll definitely get that at St. Helens, mate. Rounding off the transfer talk, mate, Conrad Hurrell and King Bunny Yawawa. I don't know if I said that right. It's the first time I've said it on the podcast, but I've been practising it. Confirmed to leave in Leeds. They haven't officially got any clubs, I don't believe. But Conrad Hurrell, once again, very heavily linked with St. Helens. And Bunny Yawawa has been linked with Salford, I believe. Obviously, we're not going to comment on rumours, but the fact that they're leaving Leeds, especially Hurrell, is quite surprising, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I want to look at the reaction of Leeds fans to it, and they seem to be more upset about Vuni Yawawa. I've not seen too much of him, because I said I don't really watch Leeds unless they're playing Wakey. I would have thought Hurrell would be a big loss, but they didn't seem too fazed by that. But I think they really liked Vuni Yawawa. I offered him a lot of power up the middle. But yeah, I don't know. It's surprising that they've not kept hold of him, but it's obviously not the Leeds of old anymore. This is a different Leeds side now. Leeds are obviously scrapping to get into the playoffs every season, not being near the top. So maybe this is just something we're just going to have to come to get used to. If we're used to it as Wakey players leaving all the time. So maybe this is just sort of maybe the new normal for Leeds, as it were.
Fingers crossed anyway. Coming on to the treatment room, the physio room, mate. Obviously, we've already spoken about Matty Cavallo and his head injury. Scott Sorensen looks to be out for the season now. He dislocated his wrist. That is very hard to do. It's an incredibly painful injury, I imagine. Some big ones for Brisbane, obviously, probably won't matter as much going into the off-season, but Payne Haas has had a syndesmotic ankle sprain. Jake Turpin's fractured his jaw. And I don't know if you've seen it, mate. It has gone viral the past couple of days, but Tarek Sims's lip, that laceration of his lip. Have you ever seen anything like that in playing or, you know, watching rugby league?
No, it's not one to stare at for too long, is it? Really? Well, yeah, it's just grim, probably the best word to describe it, but I don't know what else to say. I mean, it'll heal. It'd have been out for a while, because I imagine that would take quite a while to heal. But yeah, not one that you want to see at all. It reminds me of an injury I saw not long ago, with a player who had his two front teeth smashed from not wearing a gum shield. And obviously this isn't due to a gum shield, but anything with mouth injuries, I don't know, the sort of sends shivers down my spine. It just goes through me. So yeah, it wasn't a nice one, and not one I spent too long looking at.
Seems like a relatively nice clean bill of health from this coming round going into the playoffs as well. Obviously, we know the likes of the Roosters have got their own injury crisis, but coming out of this round specifically, it seems to be quite positive. Just coming on last but not least, Jed, we've had a couple of key retirements this week. Matt Chechen, who in my opinion has been the best NRL / best referee in the past 10 years, has retired. Unfortunately, mentioned it's just because of the amount of pressure that's building up with how the game is being run these days and the abuse he's been receiving on social media. No one wants to see, you know, a professional, never mind a referee, go out like that, mate.
No, especially in a climate where we're struggling for referees at amateur roots level, really. Nobody's wanting to referee because of the pressure that they get to see a referee at the highest level, say, is walking away from the game because of issues related to that. It's really disappointing and something that rugby league needs to take a long, hard look at itself over. It's just the way it has gone with social media. Every sportsman has to deal with it, and it's unacceptable. Very, very good standard of refereeing. It always has done Matt Chechen. Refereed every sort of highlight that you could want, and just wish him all the best, obviously, with his future endeavours. But massive shame that he's felt like he's had to walk away from the game.
And Josh Morris, mate, pretty much everybody in the dog were expecting it. He does everything alongside his brother Brett, who was forced into kind of an early retirement due to injury. What a player, what a centre, kind of one of these players where success follows him maybe every club that he goes to.
Probably. I mean, I'm trying to think, I don't know, I'll throw it over to you. In terms of the last 15, 20 years, probably the best centre or definitely in the top three centres that we've seen. I'm trying to think. Latrell maybe, but he's not played his full career there. You had Jamie Lyon, who was excellent. But I don't know. Well, probably up there, probably definitely top three, but best centre of the last 15 years, sir?
Yeah, definitely. Out and out centre. You'd think of the likes of Greg Inglis, Latrell Mitchell, like you say, but them type of players have gone in and out of different positions. Josh Morris is so consistent. He likes Jamie Lyon, like you mentioned, Mark Gasnier. But yes, centre position these days, it seems to be a bit more rare to be a pure out and out centre. You get a lot of players sometimes switching between centre and six or centre and wing, centre and fullback. But yeah, what a player and what a career. And I've seen rumours that he's potentially going to go into coaching with his brother now as well. So if they've got a lot of success on the field, it'll be interesting to see what they can do off the field in kind of the coaching mood, mate. Anything you just want to say to round up before we round off?
No, but you'd hate to be if they do go into coaching and they're telling you off and you're not knowing which one's telling you off, because I still can't tell them apart. And I've made the numerous mistake of calling one by the other name so many times on the podcast, at least that mistake won't happen anymore.
I can totally vouch for that one as well, mate. But thank you, everybody, for listening for, you know, episode 185 of Three Blokes and the Rugby League podcast. Head on over to all our social media pages where you'll find a variety of content which will hopefully pique your interest. Also, please give us a rating on all our podcasting platforms, if possible, please, as we are available on all podcasting platforms. Keep an eye out for future podcasts and interviews, as we have a few coming out very soon. We're going to announce them as soon as we're able to. We've got a litany of in the archive: Tom Johnston, Barry McDermott, Adrian Morley, Emily Rudge, Jody Cunningham, Reece Lynn, Tommy Makinson, and even my dad as well. So have a listen on there as well. Episode 185. We're going into the NRL playoffs in the next couple of weeks. Keep an eye out on Twitter as well, where we will be announcing our player of the season as picked by the Three Blokes as well. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll catch you all down the road.